Good morning. Today's Daf and Adam is Mem. We are starting today on the very bottom of Lama Testament base, and we are going to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam today. Just a quick couple introductory points before we start with today's Daf. Today's Daf is going to be super enjoyable, very halach lamaisa, very practical. Some of the statements of the Gemara today regarding Bikur Cholam are going to be challenging for me to explain. Obviously, I'm going to make an attempt to do so with the help of the Rishonim, but nevertheless, it's obviously going to be an extraordinarily enjoyable day in the Daf as we go into the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. How we get into the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam, we're learning the Darim. So my inyan, Bikur Cholam Eitzel Nedarim. Okay, so what do the two have to do with one another? So the answer is the Mishnah. So yesterday, as we were here in the fourth parak of the Masechta, so we learned the Mishnah yesterday, that even though there's a Madir and a Mudar, and a Mudar can't get Hanaf from the Madir, but nevertheless, if the Mudar is sick, so the Madir can go and visit him. You're not allowed to get Hanaf from him. I know you're not allowed to get Hanaf from him, but he's not trying to give you Hanaf. He's trying to do a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. Good. So that's the Mishnah. And what I just did is I gave you a very oversimplified look at the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is not as clear as I just presented, and the Gemara had, in yesterday's Daf, three different interpretations of the Mishnah. Nevertheless, that's basically, in other words, if I could reduce and simplify the Mishnah, that's effectively what the Mishnah taught us. Good. So I can go and be Bevakar Chola, even though he can't get Hana from me. Okay. With that stated, So the Gemara then launched into a discussion regarding the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. So as we discussed yesterday, where are we going to find Bikur Cholam in the Torah? We're not going to find Bikur Cholam in the Torah. At best, we're going to find a remnant to Bikur Cholam in the Torah, but we're not going to find Bikur Cholam itself. Everyone thinks that the Makor, that the central location to go to in terms of Bikur Cholam, is by Avram Avinu. So two points of consideration. We made them both yesterday. I'm just repeating. And that is, number one, Avram is Kodem Sinai. So anything that occurs before Mount Torah is not instructive. In other words, we learn from it, but it's not instructive. It doesn't tell us what to do. And that's number one. Number two is that it doesn't even say that they came to visit him. In other words, we assume that because we read Rashi and Chumash and we read the Midrashim. So we assume that. We're inclined to think that it's all about Bikur Cholam, and for good reason. In other words, Rashi says so, the Midrashim says so. But in the Torah itself, does it actually say that the visit was because he was sick and it's a function of Bikur Cholam? No, it doesn't say that in the Pesukim. Okay, so that is one source which we're not going to be citing as a source. So the Gemara says, so at least can you find for me a remez in the Torah for Bikur Cholam? Meaning, as I pointed out yesterday, there's no instruction in the Torah that when somebody's sick, you need to go visit him. Meaning the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam is not found in the Torah. Good. So it's not found in the Torah. So what did we do yesterday? We found a remez. So the Gemara's daf yesterday found a remez in the Torah. Where am I going to find Bikur Cholam? As I mentioned yesterday, if you gave me my entire lifetime, okay, and you asked me where to find Bikur Cholam, I wouldn't find it. Meaning, I wouldn't come to the Gemara's conclusion yesterday of that's the place to look and see Bikur Cholam. It's really encrypted in the Torah. So where do we find it? In Parshas Korach. So Parshas Korach, where Moshe says to them, right, I'm telling you right now that you're going to be swallowed by the earth. And if you're not going to be swallowed by the earth, and if you die a normal death, so then you know that Hashem didn't send me. Okay, good. That was the warning that Moshe gave to Korach va'Adaso, before they were swallowed by the earth. Okay. So you see over there, Bikur Cholam. Really? You see it over there? Like, well, where? What happened? So in the course of Moshe saying, and if you die a normal death, so he says, Ufkudas Adam. Now, if you're visited by people, and the Gemara notes that normally what happens is that as you get older, so before you die, you get sick. And when you're sick, people visit you. Oh, so you see there's a mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. Okay. So it's a real remez, meaning on my own, I don't think I ever would have arrived at that conclusion, but okay, good. That's why we have the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us where to find these remezim. So that's a remez in the Torah for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. Good. As I pointed out yesterday, and this is just a great way to think about the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avel, later in the Prakim over there. So he says that all the mitzvahs be'nam lechavero, like, and he goes through a whole litany of mitzvahs, Bikur Cholam, Hachnasas Orchim, and Levi Sameis, and an assortment of mitzvahs be'nam lechavero, so the Rambam writes, so they're all mitzvahs de Rabbanan, and they're a kiyum of the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Good. So in other words, when you're doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam, the mitzvah itself is a din de Rabbanan, but there's a kiyum in the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, That's how the Rambam writes. It's a great way to think about it in terms of looking at the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Good. With that stated, so yesterday we spent the entirety of yesterday talking about the mitzvah, but vis-a-vis as it relates to Nedarim, like the Mishnah yesterday, and a little bit regarding the halacha, not much in terms of halacha. So today we're going to learn a lot more regarding the halachas. Almost the entirety of today's daf is dedicated to Bikur Cholim. Now I'd say the second half of today's daf is it goes off topic and not discuss Bikur Cholim and really have nothing to do with our topic. But it's a really short. You can see the Amud Beis. It's a really short Amud Beis today. Okay, the reason why is because the Ron speaks at length and. When we get there, I'll explain to you why the Ron is speaking so much. What's the issue over there? Anyway, we're going to start today on the bottom of Lama Testament base, and we're starting with the words Rav Chalbo. Rav Chalbo, Chalosh Rav Chalbo, got six Nafak Achriz. And an announcement was made. The announcement sounds like this. And that is Rav Chalbo Baish, Rabbi Chalbo is sick. The word Baish means sick. It's Aramaic. So, Lo Ika Dekase. And nobody's coming and visiting him. So, Amar Lohu, Madua In Atem Baim. Sorry, so Amar Lohu Lo Kacha Yu Maisa B'Tamid Echem B'Tamid Rabbi Akiva Shechala and Lo Nichnas of Chacham La Mavakro V'Nichnas Rabbi Akiva Lavakro V'Shul Shechibda V'Ribtza Lefan of Chayim. So he says, can I tell everybody a story? And that is that there was a student during the time of Rabbi Akiva, which is going back in terms of Tkufa a little bit earlier. But there was a student over there and he was sick and nobody went to visit him. And Rabbi Akiva went in to visit him. And here, just I'm emphasizing, Kivda V'Ribtza Lefan of. And what did Rabbi Akiva do? He swept the floor. In other words, when you're sick, so what you need is you need a clean environment. Okay, right? In other words, you go to hospitals and man, oh man, is it clean over there? Meaning that's exactly the point. They want to try to make keep the area as clean as possible. Okay, so I'm not sure if we had the words to articulate why we need such a clean environment, but we've known this for generations. And so over here, Rabbi Akiva now cleaned up the area and as a result of the fact that Rabbi Akiva really took care of the environment, so this person lived. So Amar Lo,
Not necessarily that he did it himself, he could have instructed someone.
So the Amar Lo Rabbi Yechisani, and so the Talmud said to Rabbi Akiva, good, you sustain me. So Yatzar Rabbi Akiva v'darish kol mishein mevaker cholim kilu shofech damim. And so Rabbi Akiva says, good. So if you're failing, if you're not doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, so it's ki'ilu shofech damim, so it's like you're committing murder. In other words, you have the possibility to go ahead and resuscitate somebody and bring somebody back to life, tchias ameisim. So we have that opportunity when we do Bikur Cholim and you miss on that opportunity. So it's ki'ilu. So it's as if you're shofech damim. Obviously an extraordinarily strong and powerful statement regarding the importance and significance of Bikur Cholim. But what I want everyone to do right now is just think, so what's the purpose of Bikur Cholim? And that is taking care, right? Upkeep, care, and making sure that the sick person has a clean environment and basically his needs are taken care of. Okay, let's put that down as one Gemara, and let's go right to the next Gemara. I could guess, and I'm not gonna bother. Well, okay, fine. In other words, the point is that if Rabbi Akiva could do it, everyone should do it. Okay. It's fair to wonder. Phil's wondering, well, how come no one went to visit him? Unclear why. The Gemara doesn't give us those details. He also Rav Dimi. So we're up to the next story, and that is Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael. And Amar kol mevaker zechola garm lo shiyechya. V'chol she'im mevaker zechola garm lo shiyamos. Okay, so he also makes a very powerful statement. You go and you visit, so you're going to cause life. And if you don't go visit, you're going to cause death. And the Gemara says, wait. That is a powerful statement, but that's too powerful. Well, what do you mean? My grandma. So what do you mean you're causing? So, Ile mekol mevaker zechola, mevaker shlav rachamim shiyeche, v'choshe mevaker zechola, mevaker shlav rachamim shiyamos, shiyamos akadatcha. So the Gemara says, I can't imagine. Meaning, what does that mean? If you don't go visit, you're going to cause them to die? So the Ella kol she'ein mevaker chol ein mevaker shel avrachemim lo sheyechev v'lo sheyamos. What it means is as follows: is that when you don't go visit, so you're not going to be davening. Meaning the assumption is that when do you daven over a chola? So you daven when you see him. So when you see the chola, so now you're going to be moved to tefillah. And so if you don't go in there and you're not davening, so you're not going to successfully daven for his refuah shlema. Okay. It's rather interesting that the Minhag Yisrael, right, cuts across all variations of Klal Yisrael, is to daven for cholim and shul, right? In other words, the chola is either at home or in the hospital, and so we daven for the chola even when we're not befanav. Okay, from the Gemara's perspective, it certainly sounds like, it seems like, that the tefillah that's really effective and most efficacious is going to be the one where that's befanav, when you're directly in front of him. In fact, our Gemara just said it, meaning if you don't go visit, so you're not going to really daven. Okay, in other words, you certainly could daven if you're not befanav, but it sounds like from the Gemara that tefillah really only works when you're befanav. Good. So what now we learn together is that there's another function to that of Bikur Cholim, and that's tefillah. Okay. So in other words, you put these two Gemaras together, and you basically arrive at two goals in terms of when you're doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Goal number one is making sure that his needs are taken care of, as we saw in story number one. And goal number two of Bikur Cholim is going to be that you daven for him. There is a work done by the Ramban, a halachic work. Okay, it's called the Torah Sa'adam. Right, the Ramban, in addition to writing a parish on Chumash, in addition to writing a parish on the Gemara, so he also writes other Sfarim as well. We have a number of Sfarim of the Ramban. So one of them is called the Torah Sa'adam. The Torah Sa'adam is basically a halachas in terms of avelus and pre-avelus. So what did we learn in yesterday's daf? That before a person dies, so he's sick, and so he needs to be visited. So in the beginning of Torah Sa'adam, so the Ramban describes what to do in terms of when somebody's sick and the mitzvah to go visit him. In other words, the mitzvahs of Bikur Cholim are found in Torah Sa'adam. So this work on the Ramban is extraordinarily important. Already it basically is a precursor to the Shulchan Aruch, meaning that before there was a Shulchan Aruch, did anyone codify the halacha? So the Rambam did, and the Ramban in a couple places did as well. So if you open up a tour in the halachas of Avelus and the halachas of Bikur Cholim, so the Torah, he writes this in the beginning. In the beginning of the halachas of Bikur Cholim, he says, basically what I'm doing is I'm copying from the Ramban. Meaning that, obviously with some insertions here and there, but when I'm giving over the halacha, I'm telling you what the Ramban's writing in Torah Sa'adam. Okay, it's not plagiarism. In other words, he tells us very clearly where he's getting it from. So anyway, so it's over there in the Torah, quoting the Torah Sa'adam. So he's very clear in terms of the halachas of Bikur Cholim. And one of the first things he writes is exactly what we just said together, in that there are two functions to Bikur Cholim. One, to make sure that his needs are taken care of, and two, to daven on his behalf. In terms of davening on his behalf, the Ramban is very strong, right? I don't have it in front of me right now, so I'm not quoting. So I'm telling you not to trust me, but the Ramban writes as far as davening, he writes a lashon in which if you don't daven, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, right? He writes really strong language about the importance and significance of davening on behalf of the chola when you're there. Okay, and the Rama happens to be that he quotes the Ramban in the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, certainly a takeaway point from today's Gemara is that when you're doing the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, so obviously, in other words, taking care of his needs, that you're going to think of. But davening for him, right, maybe you'll think of it, maybe you won't. So obviously the strong encouragement, meaning the Gemara over here says it's one of the main features regarding the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, is to daven in his behalf. So it's a critical part of the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, and so I'm just emphasizing it. The Ramban says it's mamish, it's one of the ikaron, it's one of the main principles of the mitzvah. Okay, I'll touch on this next topic. Just recently I spoke Shira on this, but the Gemara had a line regarding davening. It says that, if you don't go visit him, so, ein mevaker chola, ein mevaker shalav rachamim, lo sheyichiv velo sheyamos. Right? If you don't go visit him, you're not going to be davening at all. But if you're reading the Gemara more carefully, which we're about to do, the Gemara says, if you don't go visit him, you're not going to daven that he live, nor are you going to daven that he die. It sounds like from the Gemara, careful reading of the Gemara, which that would seem to indicate that, on occasion you're going to go visit the chola, and what you should do is that you should daven that he dies. Meaning, right, the most of the time, what you should be davening for is that he lives, but it sounds like from the Gemara that sometimes it'd be appropriate for you to daven that he die. That's remarkable. In other words, did I just read the Gemara correctly? So the Ran thinks I did. The Ran writes over here that I read the Gemara correctly, that there are going to be times when you go in there and you look at his condition, and it's terrible. He's in a terrible condition, and he's suffering, and he's terminal. So the Ran writes over here, right on our Gemara, So the Ran writes over here, yeah, so under those circumstances, it's mamash appropriate that you daven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him out of his misery. Okay. So this Ran is much discussed. Rav Moshe has got a tshuva on this Ran in terms of whether or not this is something that we should be following, halach l'maisa. Okay, and by the way, the Ran also, in terms of citing a raya for this, meaning it's a really, this is a very serious discussion, a very serious issue. But one of the rayas that the Ran uses is the Gemara in Ksuvos that we learned together not so long ago. Right? The Gemara in Ksuvos, he quotes it over here in Daf Kuf Dalet. So that was the death of Rebbe. Everyone remember? Rebbe Yehuda Anasi was suffering. In other words, he was in terrible shape. And he had to take off his tefillin every time he needed to go to the bathroom. And he was in terrible shape. And what happened was, is that Amta Debe Rebbe, so his maidservant, seeing the kind of suffering that he was enduring, so he had all the Talmidei Chachamim outside davening that Rebbe live, and we all know the story, we just went through it recently, so she went to the roof, she took a jug, she threw it down right by the floor where the Chachamim were, and what did it get them to do? That sound startled them, it got them to stop davening for just a moment, and Rebbe was nifter. Okay, so the Ran says, so what do you see over here? Sometimes when you see somebody and they're suffering, so sometimes it's appropriate to daven that they die. Okay, is that story over there really going to be a good support for the Ran? The Ran thinks so. And I know you can go back and forth on this issue. There are many, many who go back and forth on this issue. Anyway, it's a really interesting topic, but I'm just bringing it up right now. You want to argue with the Ran? In other words, again, I brought it up. It's a really big topic. Okay, good. So I mean, when I say you want to argue with the Ran, meaning you and I can't do that, but in other words, you understand. Meaning there are definitely other sides to it.
Having to take off his tefillin to go to the bathroom, I didn't understand.
He was suffering.
Everybody has to take off their tefillin to go to the bathroom.
No, in other words, I'm just giving the description the Gemara is giving. The Gemara gives that description.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. Okay. So the...
Mishaberach
and
shul help someone?
That's a wonderful question. The question is, what about Mishaberach and shul? Meaning, right, which is super popular. Everybody does it. And so, meanwhile, over here, we're discussing davening only befanav. So it's probably connected to the Gemara, which we're going to get to in just a couple minutes from now. And that is that when you have somebody who's a chola, so the Shekhinah's right there. In other words, the Shekhinah's always with a chola. That's an idea which is coming up in the Gemara just momentarily. And so what I imagine, I assume, and I certainly run the risk of being wrong, but what I assume is that the Tefillah B'Fanav is more effective because that's where the Shekhinah is. So the concentration of Shekhinah is right there with the Chola, so you're davening right there, so it's going to be more effective. Right? Not to take away from davening that you do in Shul, and the Mishaberach that you do in Shul, but it's, again, I'm not saying this because I know, but probably it's simply less effective. Okay. Where are we?
Rava,
thank you. Okay, good. All right, Mem and Aleph, we're right about a quarter of the way down. Rava Yumakadma Dechalish, Amr Lahon, Lotikla Linish. Okay, so Rava had the following practice. And that is on the first day in which he got sick, so he said to members of his family, you know what, don't let anybody know. Dololitri Mazlai. Because what I don't want to happen, is that I don't want my mazel to get any worse. Okay, in other words, Rava had fans, but he also had detractors as well. Right? We just did a Gemara recently. In other words, if you're a Rav and everybody likes you, so you're not doing your job. Okay, the Gemara says it. I mean, I know it's funny, but it's true, and the Gemara says it. So in other words, as a Rav, so what you got to do is you got to be giving tochacha, and not everybody wants to hear it, and okay. So in other words, you could be a popular Rav, but you're not going to have all fans. So if you're Rav and you're sick, so what's going to happen is that the detractors now are going to use this opportunity to give you more of an ayin hara. Okay? So what Rav wanted to do is that on the first day that he got sick, he basically said, you know what, let's not share this information with everybody. So mikan ve'elach amalon poka ve'chruz b'shuka. So and then from day two and onward, he said, okay, now go and tell people. So in other words, anyone who hates me is going to be very happy. I know this is going to sound funny, but this is what the Gemara is saying. Oh, the Rav got sick. That's great. Okay, well, and the pasuk says that when your enemies fall, so don't be happy. The pasuk then goes on to say, Right? This is now the second half. The Gemara is now quoting the second half of the Pasuk. Pen yira Hashem v'rabbe necha v'eshiv me'alav apal. And now what happens is that when you are happy that your enemy is suffering, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is going to intervene. So Rava says, so now it's a good strategy. Meaning that when I'm sick and you announce it on day number two, so people are going to rejoice, meaning my enemies are going to rejoice. And now what's going to happen is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have more rachamim on me. Okay, good. And then, udirachim le bayalai rachame. And those people who like me, so they're going to daven for me. So I got, in other words, so I'll have the best of both worlds. So when you do announce it, but only announce it from day two and onward. Okay. And why on day one is he worried about mazel, on day two he's not worried about mazel? It's because of my lack of understanding of mazel. Meaning, if I understood better how mazel works, so then I can explain it to you. But I'm unbelievably limited. Amarav kolmavakar zacholonitzo midinashul gehenim. So you do biker cholim, and what you're going to do is you're going to be spared from the judgment of Gehenim. Shenemar Ashrei Maskel Al Dabi Yomer Yamalteo Hashem. So Ein Dal Al Chola. The Dal over here is a reference to a Chola. Shenemar. The Gemara has not one but two different psukim that speak to the Dal being a Chola. Dal literally means somebody who's poor, but in this context it means a Chola. So we have a pasuk in Yeshayahu Shenemar Midale Yivatzeni. So over there. It sounds like Dal is a reference to somebody who's sick. Inami min aden kra. The Gemara has another pasuk. This one's from Shmuel Beis. So Amnon was sick. It happens to be that Amnon was lovesick. So, but still, in other words, he was sick. And madu atakacha Dal ben Amelch baboker baboker. So why are you so Dal? Dal over here does not mean poor. He's a ben Melech. Dal over here means he was sick. So ein ra el gehenim, and also the word ra is a reference to gehenim. Shenemar kol pala shem la maaneu. V'gam rasha liyom ra'a. Rasha liyom ra'a. Clearly, ra'a is over here referenced to Gehenna. Okay. So, good. So going and visiting the sick is going to be hatzala. In other words, that will save you from Dina Shal Gehenna. V'im biker mascharel. So the Gemara says, mascharel kidamar. Shenitzam Dina Shal Gehenna. So the Gemara first asked, what's the schar for visiting? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Weren't you just listening? The schar for visiting is that you're going to be saved from Gehenna. So Ella, so the Gemara says, Mascharo Bolam Azeh. So the Gemara says, okay, that's Olam Haba. Is there any reward for this world? The Gemara's assumption is that there's going to be some reward for this world. And the Gemara says, sure. Hashem Yishmereu V'yichayehu V'ushar Ba'aretz V'altineu B'nefesh O'yvav. So, and the Gemara goes on to explain, Hashem Yishmereu Mi'Yitzahara. So you're going to have an extra level, extra degree of Shmira from the Yitzahara. That's one. Two, V'yichayehu Mina Yisurim. We're going to be suffering less. And three, v'ushar ba'aretz, so shiyu shakol mischabnim bo, everyone's going to honor you. And v'al dineh b'nefesh oivav, she is damnu lo re'im k'na'aman, sheripe tzaraso. You're going to have a lot of friends, like Na'aman. So Na'aman suffered from tzaras, and he was healed from tzaras. Now Naaman's healing from tzaras, so we're right, just a reminder of Navi, right? Something that I vastly need improvement on in terms of my knowledge of Navi. But over here Naaman, the way he was healed is that he went to Elisha. Elisha told him to go dunk in the Yarden. And he did. But in other words, but I say this as if, you know, it was like he got the instructions and he did it. He needed a little bit of positive pressure in order to do so. So that's exactly the point of the Gemara, is that you're going to have shizdam nu lo reim. Like people are going to come over to you and give you help and support. Va'al yizdam nu lo reim ke rechavam. And what you're not going to have is you're not going to have friends like Rechavam. Shechilkus machuso. Rechavam had a lot of friends who advised him, but advised him to divide the kingdom. And that's, of course, what Rechavam did. So Rechavam, Yeravam, so the kingdom got divided under their leadership. So what you'll do is your friends will give you good advice as opposed to Rechavam who did not have that. Okay. And that's all in the schos of doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So Bikur Cholim has benefits in this world and the world to come as well. Okay. I mean, like any mitzvah that benefits you in Olam Haba, but Bikur Cholim seems to have a special place in terms of the schos that it provides. Tanya. Okay, we are now towards the bottom of the Amud Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Amri Im Yamr Lecha Yilad Dimenei Uzekenim Sesor. This is a piece of Agadata that we're about to go through, having nothing to do with Bikur Cholim. But once we got onto the topic of Rechavam and the division of the Melucha, So the Gemara over here is going to be quoting this Braisa. Let me start again. Rav Shimon Elazar Amar, Yimyam Lecha Yolad Demenei, if the younger people are telling you it's time to build, Uzikenim Sesor, and the older people saying, nope, it's time to destroy, so then Shamale Zikenim Ve'al Tishmale Yoladim. So listen to age. In other words, that's age, that's wisdom, that's experience. So those are the things that we should be listening to. Don't listen to the younger people. The younger people do not have the experience and do not have that collective wisdom. And so even though what it sounds like is that the older people saying, okay, it's time to tear it down. That's, in other words, their experience is going to be the overarching better suggestion. So Shebinyan Yoladim, Stira, Ustira Zikinim Binyan. Younger people, when they're building, so that building is really going to be destructive. And older people, when they say it's time to destroy, that's really constructive. In other words, they know what they're talking about. They know what they're doing. So and if you wanted just a good memory aid to help us remember, so think about Rechavam ben Shlomo. Rechavam was guided by aides, by advisors. His advisors, the Navi describes them as being Na'arim, they're younger. So, good. So they gave him advice, but the advice that they gave him was no good. And it turned out that their advice divided Klal Yisrael, right? Between the north and the south. South was Yehuda and Binyamin. North was made up of the other Shvatim, the other 10 Shvatim. Okay. Amar Rav Shisha Bered Ravida Lo Lisa Dinish Kitsira, Lo Batlashai Kan Maisav Lo Batlashai Basraisa. Okay, now we go back to Bikur Cholim, and here we're going to go over Halachas of Bikur Cholim. So what not to do. So first of all, the expression the Gemara uses, lo lisod inish kitzira, right? The difficult expression to explain, but basically that's a reference to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So that's how the Ran understands it. Okay, So don't visit them, not in the first 3 hours, not in the last 3 hours of the day. Diyuma kol hecha. Because what's going to do is that's going to distract you from davening. The Gemara explains all this. Look, he's really sick, but he just went through a night of sleep. Okay, good night, bad night. In other words, right? Sometimes it's not good, but in other words, he just had a night's sleep. So the fact that he's sick, but he's rested. And so now when you see him in the early morning, right? The Gemara says literally the first 3 hours of the day. So when you see him in the early morning, how does he look? He looks great. And here's the problem. The problem is that he needs you to daven for him, but right now you're looking at him and you're not that inspired because he looks really good. So you're not going to really give a heartfelt davening because right now you're not moved to daven. Okay, so that's a problem. Again, by the way, the Gemara is really emphasizing, hammering this idea that davening while visiting the sick is a critical component of the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. Okay, so that's in the first 3 hours of the day. Vasraisa. Now, if you're visiting the last 3 hours of the day, so he looks awful. And Takif Chulsha, his sickness is going to get really strong at that point in time. He's going to look really terrible. And what's going to happen now is you're going to visit him those last 3 hours of the day. He looks really just like there's no way he's recovering. And so again, now you're going to be deflated. In other words, you're going to be uninspired to daven, but for the opposite reason, because there's no way he's making it. Look at him. He looks awful. Okay. It's a terrible story, but I'll tell it. Somebody did a mitzvah Bikur Cholim, and the person was really in bad shape, and so they were in the house, and so obviously they tried to keep their spirits up when they went to visit. Anyway, after leaving the house, so they, you know, the couple looked at each other, and they said to each other what they thought was a private moment. They said to each other, you know, oh, he looks awful, like he's not going to make it. And meanwhile, they're speaking right in front of, you know, everyone's got that the ring on the front door. Yeah. So it's able to hear all the conversations taking place. So, yeah, the person told me the story. So meanwhile, they're now listening to the conversation right outside the house. Right. Okay. It's a terrible story. Okay, fine. Anyway, we have to be careful what we say, you know, all the time now. So anyway, so... So fine. So if you see him in the late hours of the day and he looks awful, so you're going to be uninspired to daven. Amarav minayin shekadosh baruch hu zanis esachol shenemar Hashem yisaideni al eres davai. Okay, and so here this pasuk in Tehillim speaks to the idea that when there's a chola, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu is right there, right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu zan esachola. Literally, he supports the chola, but support over here means that you're going to have now Hakadosh Baruch Hu being the primary caretaker. In other words, when somebody's sick, so that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found. So, V'amarav, and Amarav, Minan Shechina Shuri Lamala Mimetaso Shechola, and exactly where is the Shechina going to be situated? So he'll be Lamala Mimetaso Shechola, he'll be at the head of the bed, meaning by the head of the Chola. Shenemar Hashem Yisadeni, Alaris Davai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yisadeni, literally supports me, right, nourishes me, sustains me, Al Eres Davai, while I'm on my bed of sorrow, meaning when I'm sick. Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara quotes a Brisa supporting this as well, and that is Anichnas Levakar Tzachola Lo Yishev Lo Agabi Mita Velo Agabi Safsal Velo Agabi Kise. So what you should do? Well, here's what you shouldn't do. So don't be sitting down, not on the bed, not on the bench, not on the chair. Ela Misatef. So V'Yoshev Agabi Karka. What you should do is you should wrap yourself up. In other words, you have the Shechina right there. So out of respect for the Shechina, so you should wrap yourself up and Yoshev Agabi Karka, and you should sit on the floor. Mimnesha Shechina Shruya. Lemala mimitasu shechola, because where's the Shechina situated? Right above the head of the chola. Shenemar Hashem Yisadeni al eres davai. And once again, let's quote that pasuk one more time. Okay, so it really now will inform in terms of what should be the proper position you're going to be when you go visit. Okay, Minhag Yisrael is not to wrap themselves up in a talis and to do atifa when visiting the sick. Okay, it definitely demands an explanation, meaning the Gemara over here is giving very clear instructions, that we should be misatef. In other words, the Shechina is right there. In other words, we're visiting the sick and we're visiting, the Shechina as well. And so what happened to Ituf? Okay. It's one of those questions I'm not going to have the answer to, but, where do I send you for that? Anyway, there has to be people talking about that. In terms of not sitting down, right? We also just said in the Gemara that you shouldn't be sitting down. So over here, there is a short comment of the Ran. So the Ran writes over here, Lo Yishev Agabi Mita V'lo Agabi Saf. So I'm reading the Ran inside. Ika Mandamer Dedavka Kishachol Shochev Agabi Karka Shenimtze Mevaker Gavol Mimakum Shechina. So there are those who temper the Gemara in terms of the sitting position. Don't sit, says the Ran, when the Chol is on the floor, because that what that does now is it puts you in an elevated position over the Shechina. That's inappropriate. But from this run, what it sounds like is that the Shechina is on the bed, which, by the way, most of the time, that's where the Shechina is. So then sitting would be fine. Sitting wouldn't be a problem. Good. Again, all these are a lot of halachic considerations when going in. And, okay. And Adkan, that takes us to the end of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So we didn't finish the daf today, but we finished all the gemaras that deal with Bikur Cholim. So we'll put a bookmark over here. We're not going to stop. We'll continue. We'll do a little bit more. But meanwhile, that really ends and concludes the Gemara's regarding the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Okay. Tomorrow we are going to restart a little bit more with Bikur Cholim. But just I'm sorry. Tomorrow we do come back to mitzvahs of Bikur Cholim. But as far as today's off is concerned, that's it. Okay. And what do we have for the remainder of today? So, Gemara that we already saw a couple times, we get to see it again here in Nedarim. So, in today's daf, Nedarim daf mem, so we're going to talk a little bit about toveling in the mikvah, specifically toveling in the rivers. So, Amarav and Amarav. Okay? Now, why is it coming up over here? So, the answer is very simple. It's the same Baal Memra. Meaning, if you've been focusing on all the memras that we've had in the Gemara, so we've just had a succession of Amarav and Amarav. That's the Minan Shekadosh Baruch Hu Zan Esachola, Amarav and Amarav, Minan Shekhinah Shuri Lamala Mimitaso Shekhola. And so here we go. Now we're our third Amarav and Amarav. Okay, so it's the same Baal Memra. So the Gemara attaches it over here. Sometimes that's all you need in terms of connective tissue. I don't think the connection that goes beyond that. I could be wrong. But anyway, Amarav and Amarav, Mimitra B'marav Asad Rabba Pras. Okay, so how do I know it's raining in Eretz Yisrael? Look at the Euphrates River. So what you're going to see now is the Euphrates River, where it's going to be growing. It'll increase in height, and that's because it rained out in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in terms of geography, obviously there's a lot to talk about over here in terms of understanding the geography over here. Okay, I'm not here for that, but meanwhile we are going to be going over some basic halachas regarding toveling in the mikvah. Okay, so if a person needs to tovel in the mikvah, so there are two things that you could do. Number one, what you could do is you could tovel in a collected body of water. That's called a mikvah. The word mikvah itself actually means collected body of water. So that's one way to tovel. Collected body of natural water, meaning it's water that cannot have gone through any kind of pipes or any kind of kalim. Okay, fine. In other words, what you and I describe as a mikvah, that's one way to tovel. And the other way to tovel is to tovel in what's called a mayan, a natural wellspring. A natural wellspring is any water source that comes from the ground. So a natural wellspring is also another way to tovel. Okay, there are basic fundamental differences between toveling in a mikvah and toveling in a mayan. For today, we only need to know one fundamental difference, and that is a mikvah has to be a stationary body of water. It can't be in motion. Obviously, when you submerge, when you go in, you're going to make waves. Doesn't matter how small or big you are, you're going to make waves. But the water itself has to be a stationary body of water. Obviously, when we go tovel in the mikvah, we're looking at a stationary body of water. That's great. When it comes to mayan, the water can be in motion, right? The word to describe that is zochlin, okay? The Ran over here quotes the drasha. There are midrashim over here, midrash halacha. Midrashim that makes this distinction very clear. If you're using a mikvah, the water cannot be in motion. And if that water is in motion, the tefillah is not a good tefillah. Okay? That's a very basic halacha. So with that stated, so here now becomes the problem. That when you're going into the river and you're toveling in the river, so if the river is made up of natural water, right? Let's call it natural spring water. But in other words, it's natural water that comes from the ground. So that's fine. In other words, you could tovel in such a river. There's no problem with that whatsoever. However, if what makes up that river is rainwater and the rainwater now is in motion, so that's no good. Meaning what you're trying to use is you're trying to use mikvah, not mayan, but that water is in motion, and therefore it's not going to serve as a tefillah. Okay.
Is it all water, the rainwater? I mean, even what we consider like a spring is all right. Water that rained right. In the past 1,000 years.
Right, okay. It's a fair question. We've gone over these halachas numerous times. I don't know enough about earth sciences to really give you a good answer, but okay. Okay, fine. Again, if I understood these things better, I can for sure explain it better.
This is only relevant for women.
It's relevant for anyone who needs to tovel in the mikvah. These halachas are about mikvah.
Well, a man just take a shower.
I mean, he can take a shower, but that's not going to provide for him tahara.
Right. He's not exactly.
Okay. So those are the basic differences. So now, when I have the Euphrates River and it's higher than normal, so that extra height is being provided by, so it's being provided by rain. So and that now becomes a problem. So the Gemara says that this is now the statement. Now we're going to go back to the Gemara, and now we get to see all this inside. So Amarav Mitra Ben Marava. So if there's rain in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, so Sadarav Apra. So what's going to testify about that? In other words, how do we see that here in Bavel? We see that by looking at the Euphrates River. Euphrates River is going to enjoy an increase. Now, as I say enjoy an increase, now that's going to be problematic for anyone who wants to use the Euphrates River now as a way of toveling. Because now its composition is going to be mostly rainwater. And since its composition now is mostly rainwater, it can't serve as a mikvah. Upligi to Shmuel. Now, the statement of Rav and Amarav is against what Shmuel teaches us. What does Shmuel say? Damer Shmuel, na rami kipe misbarech. That whenever you see an increase in river, that's an internal increase, meaning that's not coming as a result of rain, but rather that's coming from whatever dynamics that are occurring within the river itself. But that growth is internal; it's not externally created from rain. Upligi d'Shmuel d'Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, now what we also have to do is that we have to balance Shmuel against another statement that was made by Shmuel. What's the other statement to Shmuel? D'Amr Shmuel, Eina Mayim Matarim Bezochlin Ela Pras. You want to go into the Euphrates River, so you could do so, but only in the month of Tishrei. Okay, let's think about the month of Tishrei. So that obviously represents the end of the summer, right? The very beginning of the fall. So what just happened now for the last 6 months? No rain. Right? I know, right? We live in Florida, so right, we don't think this way. Good. But we're obviously now, let's put ourselves in Eretz Yisrael. So what's happening in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel? Now for 6 months now, no rain. No rain. So now, what can I now say about the river? Oh, so if it hasn't rained in the last 6 months, so what is that river? That river now is Mayan. That's natural spring water. So what Shmuel is telling us is that the only time that you can comfortably tovel in the Euphrates River is only going to be in the month of Tishrei, where there I know that rain is no longer a factor, it's no longer a consideration, and so therefore the moving water is just spring water, and that's great, that's perfect. Okay, so what just happened in the Gemara? A lot of confusing information that was thrown to us. And not only is it confusing, Shmuel himself is giving us mixed messages. On one hand, Shmuel said that when you have a river, so its increased growth has nothing to do with rain. It's all internal, which means that first statement of Shmuel would indicate that you could tovel in a river anytime you want. Even if the river is overflowing, you could still tovel in the river. Meanwhile, the second statement by Shmuel is that you can only tovel in the river only in the month of Tishrei alone. Okay, so and as much as the Gemara says that these two statements are non-agreement with each other, what then the Gemara does is it drops the discussion. Meaning, now what? Now we have two statements of Shmuel which are disparate and don't agree with one another. And so it would be very helpful if the Gemara would have said, okay, here's how we're going to resolve it. The Gemara does not do so. And so the Ran over here, a good part of the Ran, you see today, the Amud Beis is nearly totally occupied by the Ran. So part of the Ran is trying to make shalom between the first statement to Shmuel, the second statement to Shmuel, right? Could it be that that we can find some sort of agreement between the two? The answer is there could be, but that's the Ran over here. I'm not going to go through it right now, but I'm just giving you an idea of what to expect when you start making your way through the Ran over here. And then,
any amount of rain disqualifies?
No. In other words, you have to have more rainwater than spring water. So right. So in other words, now we're onto the part of measuring, meaning that if you measure and you find that, right. Okay. Good. Okay. Now you get into the technicals. But yes, in other words, you need a majority. Okay. Let's just do two more lines of Gemara for today. Avu d'Shmuel Avalon Mikvaos Levante biyom Nisan Umafse biyom Tishrei. Avu d'Shmuel, the father of Shmuel. Okay, oddly enough, he doesn't get named. In other words, he's always described as being just simply the father of Shmuel. Okay, but he was an Amora. It was a very respected position amongst the Amoraim. He himself was an Amora, and what he would do the following is that in the spring, so what he would do is he would make mikvos, meaning basically he would make offshoots from the river, so that the water now would go into a collected area. And that water now is stationary. Okay. In other words, he would basically build the channel. And at the end of the channel, now would be a pool of collected rainwater and good. In other words, because the Euphrates in the springtime is a composition of both rainwater and spring water. But the assumption is that in the springtime, it's going to be more rainwater than spring water. So what you need is you need the water to stand still. Okay. Good. So by channeling that water and now having it collect into a pool, so now the water is going to stand still, perfect. And in the fall, meaning in Tishrei, so what he would do is that he would allow the girls to tovel in the river itself. What he would do is he would make for them mats. Umafse biyom Tishrei. So he would make mats. A discussion amongst the Rishonim exactly what the purpose of the mats were. One pshat, there are numerous pshatim, but one pshat is that if without the mats, so their feet are going to get muddy. By going in, when they're walking into the river, and then that mud is going to serve as a chatzitza. So what you do now with the mats is you put the mats down and they're going to be walking on the mat so that their feet don't get muddy. That's not the only pshat, but okay, at least I'll offer one pshat over here in terms of why the mats. Again, this has nothing to do with today's daf, but the last little bit regarding mikvos was started by Rav and Amarav. And so over here, so as long as we have the same Baal Memra, so okay, that's what we did. Okay, let's quickly recap today. Bikur Cholim. Okay, so today a dedication to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. We went over the two main functions and purposes of Bikur Cholim, making sure that the Chol is taken care of, his physical needs are taken care of. We saw that with Rabbi Kiva. And on top of that, we also saw Tefillah, that when you go to the Chol, you have an opportunity to daven, you have an unbelievable opportunity to daven. The Shechina is right there. And so you miss that opportunity, you're missing a lot. So you go and you daven. Right? Quickly, I touched on the Ran at the beginning of today's daf says that sometimes it's appropriate to go in there and daven that the person die. That's a striking comment by the Ran. The Ran really feels that he's right. The Ran quotes the Gemara in Ksuvos, and obviously much discussion regarding this idea that sometimes it's appropriate that he die. Okay, I touched on that Ran. And then the remainder of today's daf, we went through other halachas regarding Bikur Cholim, right? When is the appropriate time to go, when not to go? Where exactly to position yourself when you visit the Chola, and whether you could sit or whether you can't, whether you could sit on the floor, whether you could sit on the chair. Okay, a number assortment of other halachas as well. And finally, the end of today's daf, we went into mikvos. Okay, having nothing to do with Bikur Cholim, but the same Baal Memra. So we touched on a little bit regarding the halachas of mikvos. Right.